It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
Alex, good morning.
Good morning. Well, I'm more hyped to go after that track.
Yeah, all right.
Some hard, some
it's good to have
beats.
A dance this time of the morning, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. It was, that's like silent raves is like a thing today.
I'm onto my second t-shirt already. It's getting warm. It's getting warm.
It is getting muggy.
We should bring us all spares to the studio.
Just a stack of nicely pressed cotton shirts. Yeah. No problem. Hey, how are you?
Hey, yeah, I'm good.
Last week you said you were going to be talking about Legion.
Yeah, I sent you some homework.
Yeah, I didn't do it.
You didn't do it?
No, I didn't do it. I spent all last...
Did you do it? Sarah?
What, watch Legion?
At least one episode did you watch?
I've watched quite a lot of Legion.
I tried to.
That's good.
One of my nearest and dearest is quite into it, and I...
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, this is good because I feel like the polarizing nature of the show is kind of what makes it so interesting, and I feel like that gives us like a really good launching pad to kind of start talking about it. For all of the listeners out there who don't know what Legion is, it's nominally a superhero show, and it takes place in the X-Men universe. But to kind of say that is not to do it any kind of justice whatsoever, because it couldn't feel further from the FX style films, right, that came out of the last like decade or so. The schlockiness of those films, I mean. What it's kind of going for, it's sort of like an anti-superhero story. People often talk about like Frank Miller's Batman as being this kind of like pinnacle of the adult superhero story.
Good Batman.
He's troubled.
Yeah.
He's very troubled.
It's sort of this adult interpretation of a superhero world, and it's definitely fair to assume that Legion is going for a similar height. Not in terms of the darkness, but definitely in terms of its cerebral approach.
How does it compare to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because that really bummed me out.
I mean, it's just a completely different ballpark.
Good. That's what I want to hear. That's what I wanted to hear.
It's like, I mean, essentially, like the easiest definition to make between those two shows would be network and cable, right? Like you have like your generic gruel television and prestige television, you know, which is what Legion is. And it's definitely what it's intended to be. It's what it was marketed as. It's what it was, made for. It was made to be prestige television. So to me, that's just like a really interesting conceit in the first place to get this content and to do something really intellectual with it. In the same way that Frank Miller's Batman, you know, was sort of positing questions like on a deeper moral and philosophical plane. This is kind of asking things like, you know, what is a brain? How does a mind work?
I don't know that.
Where is my mind? The those kinds of things.
How does that fit into superheroes?
Double personalities? One half of you dealing with the other half and the things it's done.
Why do I have to dress up so stupid?
Yeah.
Why do I have to wear a cape? There are no capes in this show.
Because capes are very ineffective.
No capes, no tights.
No tights. Oh, I don't know about that.
Most people spend this show in just normal clothes, except there is a uniform that they wear in the mental hospital that the main character spends a lot of time in. That's obviously not his like super outfit.
Super mental.
He's kind of super mental. Yeah. To take a step back for a bit, it tells the story of this guy David Haller, who's spent the majority of his life struggling with mental illness and believing and sort of being misdiagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. But in reality, he just has superpowers.
Right.
It's not a spoiler to say that because you sort of teased that in the opening episode. Yeah. And, you know, obviously, you know, you're watching a superhero show. So in the first episode, we find David in his sixth year of institutionalization at a mental hospital. And in the opening scenes, he meets a woman named Syd Barrett. exactly. Like that Syd Barrett from Pink Floyd. They fall in love. And then things start to get kind of chronologically and narratively weird. And there's a shady government organization called Division, and there's kind of a bid to rescue David from the mental hospital, and that's about all I can say about the plot without kind of veering into minefield spoiler territory. But that's kind of all you need, I think, is like a setup to go into it. And like we talked about a few weeks ago when we were talking about superheroes, the showrunner is Noah Hawley, Mr. Fargo, busiest man on television himself.
Wow.
Yeah. And the first season premiered earlier this year in February, and it's been renewed for a second season. It's coming out in February next year.
Right.
Stars not that Matthew Crawley, Dan Stevens.
The other
Matthew Crawley from Downton Abbey.
Yes.
Who is a Dan Brit, Haller. Yeah.
He is definitely
a Brit. He is a Brit in real life.
Bonafide Brit.
Accent-wise, But then in this
attitude-wise as well.
Yeah, and this has got a... He's definitely got an American accent with tinged with schizophrenic tics.
Do you think he's...
Which I find quite hard.
Do you think he's not sticking the landing on his accent?
Portrayals of mental illness or not mental illness, as the case may be, in this show, it's a tightrope, right?
That was top of my list of criticisms of the show, and right. Like we can talk about that now if you want to.
Because yes, please.
Up to you, mate.
Its handling of mental illness is definitely the clunkiest thing about it. Tell me what you found unpalatable.
It's hard. It must be hard because obviously the source material is very comic-y, and it's got to be quite elastic, quite multicoloured. You've got characters called Sid Barrett from Huxley.
Still needs to be cartoonish.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's still going for that.
Totally. And then you've got what is a real mental illness, which may or may not be a mental illness, but it's played with a quite ticky, cartoony manner, and it's hard. And then you've got a character, without too many spoilers, it's played by Aubrey Plaza, who was also in the institution, and it's a problematic portrayal of mental illness.
Is this just a matter of you trying to normalize it because it's a mental institution and you can go, well, mental institution, people who actually go there, when you think of it, the Hulk is not that believable.
Oh, totally. I know what you mean.
And you know what I mean? It's like you do have to extend a certain amount of imaginative license to
absolutely
these sort of things. So I'm just wondering.
When I say problematic, it's like you can't decide whether it's a good or a bad thing, but you're like,
just have to run with it, though, maybe.
You do definitely. Okay.
It's not a drama series, is it? It's a superhero drama series.
Well, it's actually, I mean, John was kind of a different matter.
Is it real?
It's actually a documentary. Genre is kind of a separate topic, I think, because actually it's a horror. That's kind of my assessment of it. It's a superhero horror. It has elements. It's also a love story, and it's also a drama. It has dramatic elements, but primarily to me, it plays like a horror movie. I think the mental illness thing. You're exactly right, Sarah. I think that I was misdiagnosed my whole life, but turns out I'm super. It's cute, but it's sort of the show glosses over and kind of fails to uncover any kind of like deeper truth or understanding about how that might actually impact your life. And obviously, it's cartoonish. And obviously, it's a superhero.
You have to be very careful how he did that, though.
Exactly. Like, I think his performance actually kind of does try for it, but I think the show itself doesn't allow that concept any oxygen, primarily because you never meet anybody else who's actually mentally ill in the show. All you meet are the people who are actually just superpowered. So to kind of like ignore or to compartmentalize...
So it's a matter of sort of like who's this person here? We're going to identify what their superpower is, and
a little bit. Well, within the handful of characters that we meet,
and what are we trying to achieve by the end of the series? I mean, where are we going with it? What's the deal?
So essentially, he is. So you know,
this he's, is David
he's,
Haller.
David Haller is a paranoid.
Strange name.
Paranoid schizophrenic. He is also the most powerful mutant in the universe.
Is it like X-Men in the way that these people are burdened with these abilities? I can shift any metal in the world.
But I would say the burden is more like, I think it's trying for something a little deeper, and that it's like it's exploring the kind of the curse and the blessing involved in being given such
good,
a prowess.
Good, yeah.
So sure, like there is a burden to it, but it's not interested in the kind of like sad face emoji version of what that would feel like.
God, you don't know what it's like to be able to shoot fire out of your hands.
It's like the genie from Aladdin, right? It's like phenomenal cosmic power.
I love that.
Without
being too much of a spoiler, can you run us through some of the superpowers?
Yes, I can. Can I?
Yeah, of course you can. You don't say who they belong to. Just some of the cool things that they can do.
I'm not going to talk about Sid Barrett's one, because that actually is quite a cool element of the first episode that I feel like to ruin would be a little unfair.
Okay, don't name names. I just want to know what the powers are around.
There is a guy who...
Guy, you've ruined already.
So yeah, what are we dealing with?
What are the options? What comes up? Do we have
David himself?
X-ray vision?
No X-ray vision. No. It's better than that. David himself basically just, you know, like imagine being able to do anything with your mind. He can kind of, you know, it's like Doctor Strange little, but a little bit.
I don't
bit,
need to imagine.
Yeah, right. Your mind can go
communicate
anywhere.
Communicate with dolphins.
Just because we don't see it, doesn't matter. So there's a guy at the... the facility.
I can see that you can't see it.
He has a young woman living inside him, and they live this sort of dual existence.
Right.
And it kind of like the show does like
it. How's that a superpower?
He's the brain and she's the brawn. Like she's the fighter. He's the nerd, the scientist guy.
So yeah. A lot of it's duality, eh? Like,
I think that's that, I need more than just the woman that lives inside the guy as superpowers.
There's a lot, but you're being
just give us a couple of powers.
You're being very generous and not spoiling things.
Most of the show concentrates on David's power because.
But that's not the question I asked you. The question I asked you, Alex, is what are some of the superpowers that turn up eventually? Yeah, just tell me when or where.
Okay, there is one superpower in which like somebody can switch bodies with somebody else.
Great, so stuff like that. Yeah.
So if you like skin to skin contact, you end up inhabiting.
That's right.
Their,
even if it's accidental.
Especially if it's accidental.
Just brushing down the street. No, what's Daisy Jones? Exactly. What about Jerry Brownlee? Oh, exactly. Bomb, that's you.
There's a great one. Like, God, the consequences if you get that wrong.
Exactly. And it does kind of...
Paula Bennett runs up and hugs you from behind. Oh, no.
Dark.
I've got a text just in saying, Legion is brilliant. I'm just saying, it's awesome.
Right, yeah. That's good. That's what I want to hear.
People do love it.
People, I loved it. Okay, so we should talk about what's good about it for a little bit. Because
why isn't the whole globe of TV viewers honking the horn about this one?
I think it's really niche, and
just for cool people. Is that what you're saying?
I think that. I mean, I don't want to be elitist about it, but I think it's.
It's the
way it is made makes it difficult to enjoy. In a sort of like regular TV setting. I think it's like, it's really visually poetic. It's really oblique and often quite difficult to follow narratively and chronologically.
Do you mean like the unreliable narrator thing?
Exactly. Like the reason that we were talking...
Unreliable what?
Narrator.
Oh,
the,
okay.
The reason that we were talking about it like being that. A horror before was because I think that it does this sort of Stephen King thing where it infuses the external world with so much of the interiority of its character. Like it's
It's a
character study first and foremost. So the world kind of becomes like David's world. And I think like,
is there room for just the normal schlub, you know, walking down the street in this world? Because oftentimes you find that too in these collective superhero things, where you just your average man on the street just becomes cannon fodder.
Do you mean
essentially?
That?
I'm actually racking my brain to think if there are any normal people in this world. And to my knowledge,
some of us normal blokes watching today, we're just like.
So there are some normal people in this.
But feel left out, you know.
In the governmental organization called Division, there are definitely some normal people, but mainly the normal people are like soldiers.
Exactly, cannon fodder.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, David spends a lot of the time on screen.
Yeah,
he's front and center most of the time, as is Aubrey Plaza, who I just have to say is incredible. And she is really like the secret sauce of the show, I think. Where you miss her when she's not on screen. Her performance is kind of tonally perfect for what the show creators are going for. And I think, like, just to round off what you were saying before about Dan Stevens' performance, I actually think it's pretty good. I think it's like simultaneously transcendent and hammy, which is actually kind of perfect for what the show is as well.
Yeah, it's a... what they're asking with that character is a tightrope of a thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, you'll either be directly to one side touching it or on the other touching it. You won't waver that much.
And I think the other reason, Mikey, to answer your question about why people perhaps haven't heard about it and why it sort of hasn't taken over the world as like the show to watch, is that the way the story is told is kind of like exploring what a brain is as well.
I like that though. I like the sound of that. That's cool. I'm all for that.
It's really confusing.
But my brain freaks me out.
But really, really, really beautiful and really, it turns corners incredibly quickly, kind of like your thought patterns specifically.
You've got a song that you've decided to attribute to.
Correct. The soundtrack is great, and it's sort of as eclectic as the way the show works itself. Veers from like Bowie to The Who and all over the place, all over the map. Radio.
They pay the money. They pay good money for it. For the music.
Someone's getting paid. Someone is earning some money.
Can they afford Pink Floyd? If they've got Sid
Barrett. I think there is some Pink Floyd on the soundtrack.
Hey. Who cares?
But yeah, I care a little less about Pink Floyd as I do about this guy that we're going to play. We're going to play a Serge Gainsbourg song, which takes place over a montage. A lovely little montage. Show does some good montages. If you love a good montage, get in.
Done
get
well, in a montage someone.
Ah, the last thing I should say, Jermaine Clement turns up in the second half of the season as I'm not really
as
spoiled,
Jermaine
say,
Clement.
As, he kind of is just as Jermaine Clement. I mean, he's not really doing... Well, I think he's like his talent is best deployed here since Flight of the Conchords. But, you know, if you're not already on board the Jermaine train, you might
Jermaine train?
Not be after this. It's really good. Check it out. On Neon.
A human clementipede. Ne pas la surprendre, pas l'entreprendre, pauvre là. Ne pas la surprendre, pas l'entreprendre de... But en bas. Il est des mots tendres qu'elle aime entendre. Tendre le la, oui, quelques mots tendres devraient attendrir le lita. Ce que ça va rendre, ça va dépendre. Pauvre Lola, ce que ça va rendre, ça va dépendre un peu de toi. On peut pas te prendre, tu dois t'en rendre compte, Lola. On peut pas te prendre jusqu'au calende grec, Lola.
That was Viewmaster on 95 BFM, brought to you by Neon.